This is from breaking911.com. Zika fears hit Asia. Singapore instructs workers to apply repellent hourly and take vitamin C. Just days after Singapore health officials announced a cluster of Zika cases amongst a group of foreign workers, its Asian neighbours have aggressively stepped up preventive measures similarly to the ones they undertook for Ebola and Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. I'm also going to be giving you some facts and figures that actually relate to Zika. And just to let you know, it's not quite as virulent as the mainstream prostitutes would have you believe. But anyway, let's carry on with this because we've got three or four articles to try and squeeze into this one report. Indonesia rolled out thermal scanners at its main airports and ports, such as Batam, an island nearest to Singapore. Malaysia began health checks for buses entering Johor Bahru, a city that an estimated 200,000 people pass through during their commutes to work in Singapore. South Korea, Taiwan, and Australia issued travel advisories warning pregnant women and others about the situation in Singapore. And there's more about Zika and pregnant women to come. Whilst the subtropical region is used to dealing with mosquito-borne infectious diseases such as dengue and slower-developing illnesses like HIV and AIDS, many countries' surveillance systems are not set up to closely monitor the condition of pregnant women and their babies who are most vulnerable to the pathogen. I'm going to add allegedly in there. One of the tricky things about Zika is that most people who get it don't have any symptoms, and by the time traditional tracking methods such as those in emergency rooms pick up on groups of patients with the virus, it's likely already spread through the population. At the construction site where the Singapore cases were first seen, health authorities had to set up a kind of informal quarantine. Work has been shut down and those with Zika have been given their own rooms in a dormitory with Wi-Fi and their three meals delivered to them, according to a description in the Straits Times. All workers are getting their temperature taken twice a day, the newspaper added, and they have to apply mosquito repellent each hour and wear two types of patches with repellent. They're also given vitamin C each day. That wonderful, wonderful chemical, vitamin C, ascorbic acid, that you can buy so cheaply online, that cures so much. It's unclear how this will help combat Zika, but the idea that the supplements can help with a related illness or dengue fever is a common belief in Singapore, just as the idea that it can help with the common cold, as in the United States. Medical studies haven't been able to confirm a link for either. However, vitamin C is a powerful antioxidant. As long as you're not consuming megadoses, which can be harmful, well, when they say harmful, it gives you the squits. Nutrition Science says a supplement can help round out a diet lacking in citrus and other foods rich in the nutrient to make sure you're getting enough to support normal growth and development. The number of confirmed Zika cases in Singapore is now up to 56. Most of these people have made a full recovery, but a handful remain hospitalised. According to the latest situation report from the World Health Organization issued on August 18th, 67 countries have reported evidence of mosquito-borne Zika virus since 2015. 17 of them have reported babies being born with microcephaly, or shrunken heads, or other central nervous system malformations, which are possibly linked to Zika. The most numerous and severe cases have been seen in Brazil, where the link between Zika and microcephaly was first established. 18 countries and territories have reported increased incidences of Guillain-Barré syndrome or have confirmed Zika infection with people with the disorder, in which the body's own immune system attacks nerves and can be life-threatening. That was from breaking911.com. Let's have a look at factcheck.org. That's factcheck.org. And they're facts about Zika. Several members of Congress in the US wrote to government officials about the recent Zika virus outbreak in Brazil and a suspected rise there in the number of microcephaly cases. But some of these letters overstated what's known about these two phenomena. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand claimed, quote, over 4,000 babies in Brazil have been born in the last year with microcephaly. As of January 29th, Brazil's health minister reported 4,180 suspected cases, but only 270 were confirmed. The remaining cases were either under investigation, 3,448, or were discarded, 462. Senator Richard Blumenthal said these 4,000 cases in Brazil, quote, have been linked to the outbreak of the Zika virus, end quote. As of January 29th, only 6 of the 270 confirmed babies with microcephaly had tested positive for Zika. Health officials say evidence strongly suggests a link between Zika and microcephaly, but they also emphasized the link hasn't been scientifically confirmed. The senators were reacting to the Zika virus spread through the Americas, including Brazil, and a rise in the number of suspected cases of microcephaly. Microcephaly is normally thought of as a rare neurological condition, where an infant's head is substantially smaller than the heads of other children of the same age and sex. However, the condition often signifies a deeper problem, abnormal brain development. Doctors in Brazil began noticing a possible increase in microcephaly cases around August 2015, as reported by the New York Times. The Zika virus likely spread to the country roughly a year earlier. Researchers in Brazil theorize that the virus initially spread to their country during the FIFA World Cup tournament in July 2014, but a group of scientists in French Polynesia believe Zika may have spread from their country to Brazil during the VAR World Sprint Championship canoe race held in Rio de Janeiro in August 2014. There's plenty of concern amongst groups such as the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, but the concern, in part, arises from a lack of knowledge about Zika and its potential causal link to microcephaly. We'll explain what's known about this possible relationship and the cases in Brazil so far. Update, April 14th. On April 13th, the CDC confirmed that, quote, Zika virus is a cause of microcephaly and other severe fetal brain defects, end quote. On January 28th, Gillibrand, a Democrat from New York, wrote a letter to Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, urging the institute, quote, to prioritize research into developing diagnostic tests, vaccines, and therapeutic drugs to fight the continued spread of the Zika virus, end quote. In her letter, she claimed, quote, over 4,000 babies in Brazil have been born in the last year with microcephaly, but according to information provided by Brazilian authorities, that's inaccurate. From October 22, 2015 to January 29, 2016, Brazil's Ministry of Health reported 4,180 suspected cases of microcephaly, which included 3,448 cases under investigation, 270 confirmed cases, and 462 discarded cases. The fact that more cases have been discarded than confirmed shows that diagnosing microcephaly is not straightforward. According to the Mayo Clinic, microcephaly is broadly defined as, quote, a rare neurological condition in which an infant's head is significantly smaller than the heads of other children of the same age and sex. The syndrome is usually the result of the brain developing abnormally in the womb or not growing as it should after birth. Different organisations and doctors have different definitions for significantly, however. As the Centre for Disease Control and Prevention explains, quote, although a university accepted definition of microcephaly does not exist, microcephaly is most often defined as head circumference, greater than 2 standard deviations below the mean, or less than the 3rd percentile based on standard growth charts, end quote. A review article published by the American Academy of Neurology in 2009 provides similar information. Quote, microcephaly is an important neurologic sign, but there is non-uniformity in its definition and evaluation. The article, though, also points out to 2 standard deviations from the norm as the most often used definition. The condition can be rooted in different causes, including chromosomal abnormalities, decreased oxygen to the fetal brain, infections during pregnancy, alcohol or drug abuse during pregnancy, and malnutrition. Evidence of microcephaly can be found as early as the latter stages of the second trimester using an ultrasound, says the CDC. The condition can also be diagnosed after a baby is born. After birth, doctors will measure the circumference of a baby's head. If the baby's head falls within a range that is below what its pediatrician defines as normal for its age, the doctor may request additional tests. A CT or MRI scan can provide information about the development of the newborn's brain. Many tests may be needed to confirm microcephaly in infants. Early diagnosis does have the potential to lead to false diagnosis. According to National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, some children with microcephaly will have normal intelligence and a head that will grow bigger, but they will track below the normal growth curves for head circumference. The difficulty with definitively diagnosing microcephaly has led some to question whether Brazil underreported cases in the past and whether they overreported their 2015 cases as well. For context, the Associated Press and the New York Times write that out of 3 million births in 2014, Brazilian doctors reported only about 150 cases of microcephaly. But 150 cases is surprisingly small for a country the size of Brazil. For comparison, Margaret Honin, a CDC epidemiologist, told the AP the United States has an estimated 2,500 cases of microcephaly a year out of 4 million births. Researchers of the Latin American Collaborative Study of Congenital Malformations, or the ECLAMC, have also questioned Brazil's past and present recording of microcephaly cases, reported Nature. On December 30th, Jorge Lopez Camalo and Lada Maria Orelli, researchers at ECLAMC, published a report outlining how Brazilian authorities may have underreported cases of the neurological condition in the past, and now they might be overreporting cases today. For example, the ECLAMC report stated that defining microcephaly as a head size 2 standard deviations smaller than the norm includes necessarily a large number of normal individuals. The authors also told Nature that the current surge might largely be attributed to the intense search for cases of the birth defect and misdiagnosis because of heightened awareness in the wake of the possible link with Zika. In a Q&A on its website, the CDC says the baseline prevalence of congenital microcephaly in Brazil is difficult to determine because of underreporting, and the inconsistency of clinical criteria used to define microcephaly. It adds that while population-based estimates of congenital microcephaly in Brazil vary, the number of infants with microcephaly currently being reported in Brazil is greater than would be expected. Regardless, Gillibrand was inaccurate when she definitively wrote, over 4,000 babies in Brazil have been born in the last year with microcephaly. According to Brazil's current count, only 270 cases have been confirmed. On January 29th, Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut, wrote a letter to President Obama urging the administration to increase funding for research related to combating Zika. In his letter, Blumenthal wrote, "More than 4,000 cases of microcephaly and birth deformities in infants in Brazil have been linked to the outbreak of the Zika virus. That claim is inaccurate. As previously mentioned, there have only been 270 confirmed cases of microcephaly, not more than 4,000. Also, while scientists and public health authorities have seen a correlated increase in reported births of both microcephaly and Zika in Brazil, they stress that a causal link has yet to be established. As of January 29th, only 6 of the 270 confirmed babies with microcephaly also tested positive for Zika. For example, on January 28th, when reporters asked about, quote, the numbers reporting a causal link between Zika to microcephaly, Dr. Anne Schuchat, the principal deputy director of the CDC, wasn't able to give hard numbers. Instead, she said it's, quote, an ongoing investigation, information is being gathered. Blumenthal would have been correct if he had said, as the White House wrote on its website, that Zika may be linked to microcephaly. As of the 5th of February, the World Health Organization reported that, quote, Brazilian national authorities estimated that between 497,593 and 1,482,701 cases of Zika virus infection have occurred since the outbreak began around August 2014. The Zika virus is primarily spread through mosquito bites, in particular the Aedes species, which also spreads the dengue and chikungunya viruses. However, there have been cases of the Zika virus transmission through sexual contact, including one probable case in 2011, a possible case in 2015, and a confirmed case in Texas on February 2nd, 2016. According to the CDC, about 1 in 5 people infected with Zika virus become ill. Of the people who do become ill, the symptoms are usually mild, often including fever, rash, joint pain or conjunctivitis, and that's just red eyes really, and last several days to a week. The virus usually remains in the blood of an infected person for about a week, but it can be found longer in some people. Since Zika often entails a silent to mild infection, it is difficult to conclusively diagnose by symptoms alone. To be clear, Blumenthal does have reason to raise concern about the possible link between Zika and microcephaly. As Dr. Margaret Chan, Director General of the WHO, said on January 28th, the possible link to more serious conditions like microcephaly changed the risk profile of Zika from a mild threat to one of alarming proportions. At this point in time, scientists and health officials believe the increase in reported cases of Zika and microcephaly are positively correlated, meaning when reported cases of Zika went up in certain areas, an increase in reported cases of microcephaly followed. Health officials strongly suspect a causal link, though they have little direct evidence to support it. As of January 29th, only 6 babies have had microcephaly and tested positive for Zika in Brazil. Scientists also have some understanding of the mechanism behind how Zika could, in theory, lead to microcephaly, though they stress much remains unclear about its mechanism. As Nature reports, quote, many researchers say that epidemiological data alone will not convince them of a link between Zika and microcephaly. They would like to see evidence of how and why the virus causes the condition. With this in mind, scientists are developing animal models to investigate Zika's effects on the body. Based on what is known, on February 1st, the WHO declared the Zika outbreak a public health emergency. During a speech in Geneva announcing the news, Chan emphasized the need to, quote, coordinate international efforts, end quote, to better understand the relationship between Zika and microcephaly. The New York Times reported that an emergency decision from the WHO can prompt action and funding from governments and non-profits around the world. On February 2nd, Dr. Anthony Costello, WHO Director for Maternal, Child and Adolescent Health, also said the organisation has set a global response unit for Zika, quote, using all the lessons we've learned from the Ebola crisis, end quote. The New York Times reported that the WHO's decision to declare Zika a public health emergency may have been influenced by the criticism it received for its tardiness in declaring Ebola an international emergency during the 2014 outbreak. Due to the possible transmission and microcephaly Zika link, the CDC also issued travel precautions to certain countries, including Brazil, for pregnant women or women who are trying to become pregnant. While they haven't issued a formal travel notice, the WHO says that, quote, travelers should take the basic precautions to protect themselves from mosquito bites. According to the CDC, quote, a mother already infected with Zika virus near the time of delivery can pass on the virus to her newborn around the time of birth, but this is rare. It also writes, it is possible that Zika virus can be passed from a mother to her baby during pregnancy. We are studying how some mothers can pass the virus to their babies, end quote. Tomás Gollop, a fetal medicine specialist who runs his own clinic in Sao Paulo, told us by email that he believes a causal relationship had been established in the 6 microcephalic babies who tested positive for Zika. But he also said, quote, we do not have a positive scientific study to state with scientific reason that it was in fact the Zika virus that caused these defects. However, the suspicion is very strong. In order to confirm a causal link, scientists and health officials, like those at the CDC and the NIH, have said that they would need to find and study more cases where contracting Zika during pregnancy may have led to babies with microcephaly and brain defects. But as previously mentioned, some researchers also want more mechanistic evidence before they definitively say Zika causes microcephaly. Some mechanistic evidence supporting the theory that Zika causes microcephaly does already exist, however. When G.W.A. Dick, a researcher at the National Institute for Medical Research in the United Kingdom, at the time first described the virus in 1952, he found that, quote, Zika virus is highly neurotropic in mice, and no virus has been recovered from tissues other than the brains of infected mice. Neurotropic means affecting the nervous system. Dick also wrote that neuronal degeneration, cellular infiltration, and areas of softening are present in Zika-infected mouse brains. In 1971, T.M. Bell, a researcher at Newcastle General Hospital in the UK at the time, and colleagues also found that pathological changes in the brain were correlated with the growth of the Zika virus. To be clear, Bell and Dick's work is still evidence for a causal link between Zika and brain defects, but on the cellular level instead of the individual or population level. But when researchers find evidence for cellular-level causal links, this provides them with clues about the mechanisms behind how one variable may lead to another. This research also was conducted in mice and not humans. While viruses can affect different organisms differently, scientists often use mouse models to perform experiments that otherwise wouldn't be permitted on humans. But Dick and Bell's work does show that Zika has the mechanistic potential to cause microcephaly. Health officials may have also seen a similar spike in microcephaly cases during a Zika outbreak in French Polynesia in 2013-14. The WHO says a Zika outbreak was reported for the first time in Yap in 2009, but it wasn't until the French Polynesian outbreak in 2013 that national health authorities reported potential neurological and autoimmune complications of Zika virus disease during the French Polynesian outbreak. As the New York Times reported, French Polynesia is the only area outside of Brazil to be affected by Zika, in which public health officials have identified an increase in the number of fetuses and babies with unusually small heads. But the ECLMC reported that the investigation of a possible Zika microcephaly link during the French Polynesian outbreak took place in November 2015 after Brazil declared a state of emergency. For this reason, the report says the investigation is not an independent event, since Zika only circulates in the body for a short period. This also makes retroactive analysis of an outbreak difficult. As previously mentioned, diagnosing microcephaly isn't straightforward, but Zika isn't the easiest to diagnose either. In the report summary, Lopez, Camello and Orelli point out that identifying the Zika virus in the blood is difficult due to its short circulation period. Its similarity to the dengue virus also makes definitive diagnosis problematic. Reuters and The Scientist have also written about the difficulties of testing for Zika using current serological or blood testing tools. During roughly the week of infection, when the virus is still present in the body, health officials can use a test that identifies Zika by its ribonucleic acid. Since every virus has its own specific RNA, or every organism for that matter, the test has a high degree of accuracy. After that first week, though, health officials have to test for Zika antibodies. The immune system produces antibodies in response to viruses and other pathogens, but a virus's antibodies aren't as specific to it as its RNA, so this method sometimes cross-reacts with dengue antibodies, and dengue is widespread in Brazil. However, researchers worldwide are currently working to develop better diagnostic tests for Zika. Fauci, for example, told reporters on January 28th that the NIH is working to develop diagnostic platforms that can rapidly determine if a patient is infected with Zika or has been infected either recently or in the past, and distinguish it from other viruses, particularly dengue infection, end quote. Laviana Schuller-Faccini, a researcher at the Federal University of Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil, said that in the 6 microcephalic babies that did test positive for Zika, the virus genetic material was identified by RT-PCR, that is, through Zika RNA. She also said these were severe cases of stillborns or babies that died shortly after birth, where a chronic and generalized infection was present. Despite the severity of the microcephaly cases where researchers did find Zika virus present, Lopez, Camello and Orelli questioned Brazil's overall numbers. Lopez, Camelli and Orelli also reviewed microcephaly records in Brazil dating back to 1967 and compared these numbers to reports in 2015. On average, Brazil sees roughly 2 cases of microcephaly for every 10,000 births. But the Brazilian state of Pernambuco tends to see more cases each year. 10 on average, according to the Pan American Health Organization, a regional office of the WHO. In 2015, 147,597 babies were born in Pernambuco. Based on the historical data, the researchers estimated that the maximum number of expected cases of microcephaly would be around 45 for that number of births and without any potential influence of Zika. Yet, in 2015, Pernambuco officials reported 1,153 cases, according to the ECLAMC report. If Zika had been infecting people at rates similar to the 2007 outbreak in Micronesia, which includes Yap Island, the virus could potentially explain an additional 353 cases of microcephaly, not an additional 1,108 cases, the authors say. This, among with other findings, gave Lopez, Camello and Orelli reason to question Brazil's numbers. The point is, much is still not known about the possible relationship between the Zika virus and microcephaly. There is evidence that the two conditions are positively correlated within certain areas of Brazil and possibly French Polynesia. While strongly suspected, scientists and health officials have little direct evidence to support a causal link. But that's due, in part, to the nature of Zika and microcephaly diagnosis. Lastly, Zika does not appear to target the brain, but some scientists say much more mechanistic research needs to be done to confirm a causal link between the virus and microcephaly. In short, much is still unknown about Zika, microcephaly, and their possible link. The WHO declared the outbreak a public health emergency for precisely this reason, to coordinate international efforts to better understand the two conditions' potential relationship and to control Zika's spread. As a result, Blumenthal was inaccurate when he said that the Zika outbreak had been linked to 4,000 cases of microcephaly in Brazil, and the jury is still out on the Zika microcephaly link and the numbers behind it. Update April 14th. April 13, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed that Zika virus is a cause of microcephaly and other severe fetal brain defects. The CDC authors outlined the evidence to back their conclusion in a paper published in the New York England Journal of Medicine on April 13. It's often the case in epidemiology and medicine. The paper stresses that no smoking gun or single piece of definitive evidence confirmed the link between these two conditions. Instead, various lines of evidence taken together confirmed the link. Some evidence came from observing Zika infection in pregnant women who went on to have babies with birth defects, including microcephaly, and identifying the Zika virus in the brain tissue of fetuses and infants. What does this mean for pregnant women who may have been exposed to Zika? The CDC says that the finding means that a woman who is infected with Zika during pregnancy has an increased risk of having a baby with these health problems. It does not mean, however, that all women who have Zika virus infection during pregnancy will have babies with problems. Zika, a masterpiece of mind control, from vaccineimpact.com. Threat or Hoax? Zika Virus by John P. Thomas, Health Impact News. It's been nearly 9 months since the word Zika flashed like a lightning bolt in the headlines of mainstream news. Before January 1, 2016, Zika was just one of many viruses that public health officials monitored. But suddenly, in January of this year, everything changed as a nearly harmless virus was transformed into a worldwide threat. As we'll see, the Zika propaganda machine was turned on in October 2015, and it's been running wild ever since. This is a classic example of mind control programming, a public brainwashing project, or a high-powered marketing campaign. Regardless of what you call it, it is clear that the mainstream news media, the World Health Organization and the Pan American Health Organization, and the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Big Pharma, Big Chemical, and both Republicans and Democrats have joined forces to sell a Zika eradication program to the people of the United States and to the rest of the world. This has been and continues to be one of the best orchestrated programs of propaganda in recent history. This article will discuss how the program started, how it was developed, and where it's going. Zika is not a threat to the babies of the world. Just to be absolutely clear from the beginning, there is no solid evidence that Zika is a threat to humanity. It is a minimally dangerous viral infection which does not cause microcephaly. In the almost 70 years since the Zika virus was patented by the Rockefeller Foundation, no one ever noticed any association between Zika infection of pregnant women and their babies being born with abnormally small heads or with defects in brain development. But in 2015, we were suddenly made aware of this supposed problem. This claim, based on nothing more than circumstantial evidence, was the beginning point for the propaganda campaign. A propaganda claim that does not need to be true. It just needs to be repeated over and over again until people believe it is true. After half a year of fear and hysteria in the mainstream media, even officials in Brazil admit that Zika is an unlikely cause of their microcephaly. As reported in Natural News, a comment on July 23, 2016, an official from Brazil's Ministry of Health raises doubts to suggest Zika is not the only factor in the reported microcephaly surge in his country. The report stated, quote, Zika virus has spread throughout Brazil, but extremely high rates of microcephaly have been reported only in the country's northeast. Although evidence suggests that Zika can cause microcephaly, the clustering pattern hints that an environmental, socio-economic, or biological factor could be at play. We suspect that something more than Zika virus is causing the high intensity and severity of cases, says Fatima Marino, Director of Information and Health Analysis at Brazil's Ministry of Health. If that turns out to be true, it could change researchers' assessments of the risk that Zika poses to pregnant women and their children. End quote. Despite this admission from Brazil, the Zika propaganda campaign is moving ahead without interruption. The campaign will not be stopped by contrary evidence about Zika and microcephaly. Most people who get Zika will be completely unaware of being infected. For those who do get sick, it's similar in many ways to having a cold or a mild case of the flu. People experience fever, rash, joint pain, and conjunctivitis. The illness is usually mild, with symptoms lasting for several days to a week. Infection is thought to provide lifelong immunity. Severe disease requiring hospitalization is uncommon, and deaths are rare. The fact that almost no one dies from Zika infection made it a very unlikely candidate for the development of a vaccine. For those who actually feel sick from Zika infection, they can receive comfort, care, and rest while their immune systems overcome the viral illness. However, if Zika could be connected to some other horrible consequence, such as microcephaly or paralysis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, for example, then people would insist that we create a Zika vaccine and would insist that every person on planet Earth take it. They would be willing to give up basic individual freedoms for the benefit of society, which is always the goal of mind control programs. In 2015, a number of press releases and reports were released by the Pan American Health Organization, the World Health Organization, and the CDC to set the stage for the unfolding of a grand mind control project. The documents they published raised the red flag of alarm that a Zika epidemic was unfolding throughout South America and Mexico. The conventional media got excited about the epidemic when they saw the word microcephaly. The prospect of large numbers of babies being born with abnormally small heads and brains was a story that would really grab the attention of their audience. The media used pictures of deformed babies to build fear in the hearts of people and to create the perception that we better watch out or Zika is going to get us and our babies. They worked really hard to instill public panic about Zika in January and February of 2016. In the timeline that follows, you'll see the word autochthonois. Public health agencies use the word autochthonois to say that an infection was locally generated. An autochthonois case of Zika is one that was acquired in the local area where a person lives. This is in contrast with a Zika infection that was acquired whilst visiting another region or country. Here are a few key points from some press releases to show how a foundation for the Zika campaign was built and how momentum was established to project the campaign into mainstream media. May 2015, Brazil confirms first autochthonosis cases of Zika. October 15, Colombia confirms first otocthonosis cases of Zika. October 2015, Brazil reports unusually high number of babies with microcephaly. November 2015, El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico, Paraguay, Suriname and Venezuela report otocthonosis Zika infection. November 17, 2015. WHO calls upon member states to watch for the occurrence of microcephaly. December 1, 2015. PAHO, WHO issued the first of dozens of reports, which chronicled the history of the growing Zika epidemic and warned of microcephaly. December 21, 2015, the WHO reports otocthonosis Zika infections in Honduras. December 22, 2015, the WHO reports otocthonosis Zika infections in Panama. December 31, 2015, US CDC reports otocthonosis Zika infections in Puerto Rico and makes notes of microcephaly in Brazil. The mainstream media suddenly picked up on the Zika microcephaly story in January of 2016 and began sensationalising it. General concern was quickly transformed into alarm as officials in Brazil reported a steady increase in the number of microcephaly cases. As of January 30, 2016, they reported 4,783 cases of microcephaly and/or central nervous system malformation suggestive of congenital infection. They compared this with 2001 to 2014 data, where there was an average of 163 microcephaly cases. The Brazil data about the babies was poor. They didn't know their definition of microcephaly. They didn't know how many of the mothers actually tested positive for Zika. They didn't know how the data was collected. We also didn't know why there was a strong level of insistence that the only thing that could cause these birth defects was infection with the Zika virus. Propaganda campaigns always dismissed other viewpoints other than the one being promoted. They don't want an investigation of truth or a debate about the facts. They just want belief and submission. CDC officials began to ponder the situation. First, they say there might be an association between Zika and microcephaly, but they are far from asserting any kind of causative relationship. Good for them, I thought, when I heard that report, but their apparent wisdom took a nosedive a minute later when the same CDC official went on to issue a travel warning to women to avoid travelling to Brazil and South American countries if they are pregnant. Think they might be pregnant or are thinking of becoming pregnant in the next couple of years. What did the CDC just say? There is no evidence of causation, and we don't even know there is even a problem, but women should stay home anyway. Strange, I thought, as I began to remember how the conventional media, the CDC and the WHO, hyped up the African Ebola epidemic in a similar kind of propaganda campaign just 18 months earlier. The worldwide threat of Ebola Zaire completely died out long before a vaccine could be developed, which must have been a major disappointment to Big Pharma. But this time, they have a virus that is not going to die out. This time, their propaganda campaign will be much more sophisticated, and it will take major steps towards the acceptance of universal mandatory vaccination for diseases such as Zika. All through January and early February of 2016, the news media provided us with a non-stop litany of stories about Zika and deformed babies. The CDC was still using the word possible association, while the news media insisted on using the word cause. Despite the initial reserve of the CDC, the news media began to shout the message across America. Zika is going to deform the heads of our babies while they are in the womb, and there's no vaccine to protect us. It seems like every Zika story I saw included at least one photo of a baby with microcephaly and always stated that there is no vaccine yet. We were reminded over and over again that Zika is causing babies to be born with abnormally small heads, mental retardation, and blindness. We were warned that some babies were dying at birth because of the severity of their brain deformation. We were told that each baby born with microcephaly will cost $10 million or more in medical expenses during the child's life. These stories created an ever-increasing level of apprehension and fear, as they were intended to do. As the mainstream media struggled to keep the fear level high and keep the storyline flowing from week to week, they began to focus in on the government efforts to save us from Zika. It didn't take long for them to find people to interview who would ask the question they wanted asked. What is the government going to do to protect our babies? This question was asked over and over again, even though there was no proof that Zika infection and microcephaly were related. The question was asked so many times by the media that no politician could dare to say, quote, "I am not going to do anything because as far as we know, Zika doesn't cause microcephaly," end quote. President Obama responds to the question. On February 22, 2016, President Obama requested $1.9 billion to study the situation and to develop a Zika vaccine. Let's look at this more carefully. We're going to spend $1.9 billion to develop a vaccine for a virus that almost never kills anyone and has not been proven to cause birth defects. Just to be safe? Or is something else going on here? Perhaps the real story is that Big Pharma wants another cash cow vaccine, and the Zika threat has been promoted in such a way that people will insist that Big Pharma develop a Zika vaccine for us. Suddenly, Big Pharma companies will be able to put on their white hats and rescue all the babies of the world. This would be such sweet deception if they could pull it off. The CDC announced in April 2016 that Zika causes microcephaly. This decision was based on a CDC analysis of available data. They did not conduct comprehensive research. They used a quacking duck kind of analysis. If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, then it must be a duck. They couldn't tell if it had feathers like a duck or has a bill like a duck, but they still insisted on calling it a duck named Zika. In doing this, they ignored some of the most important criteria of their analysis. CDC researchers stated the seventh of Shepard's criterion, proof in an experimental system that the agent acts in an unaltered state, is aimed at medications or chemical exposures and does not apply to infectious agents. Thus, giving Shepard's criteria as a framework, criteria 1, 3 and 4 have been satisfied. Evidence that is considered sufficient to identify an agent as a teratogen. In other words, they used a set of seven criteria to determine whether Zika could be considered to be a cause of microcephaly. They determined that the association between Zika infection and microcephaly was causative for three of the seven criteria. They suggested that additional study was needed before three of the other criteria could be met. They excluded the seventh criteria altogether because it examined whether medications or chemicals might have caused microcephaly. I couldn't believe that they excluded the seventh criteria when it's clear that microcephaly is known to be caused by pesticide exposure and could just as easily be caused by vaccinations during pregnancy as it was likely to be caused by Zika infection. These CDC scientists were only looking for causation from infectious agents. Nothing else seemed to matter. This exclusionary mindset was present since the very beginning of the Zika propaganda campaign. They ignored the effect of the Tdap vaccine given to pregnant women in Brazil in 2015. They ignored the side effects of medications. They ignored the consumption of GMO food. glyphosate, and pyriproxifen that were widely used in Brazil. They ignored chemical exposure from Brazil's large chemical manufacturing facilities. They ignored alcohol and drug use. They ignored the effects of extreme multi-generational nutritional deficiencies and extreme poverty. They ignored the introduction of genetically modified mosquitoes that were released in Brazil. They ignored exposure to rubella, toxoplasmosis, or cytomegalovirus. They ignored the combined effects of all of these factors, as well as multi-generational modifications to the local gene pool from these potential causes. There is one key point that I want to bring forward from the previous article concerning the number of babies born with microcephaly. First, we heard that there were 4,783 cases of microcephaly in Brazil. After the initial shock and panic was introduced, it was learned that further investigation showed that the number of confirmed cases was 483. The mainstream media also didn't mention the number of babies born in the United States with microcephaly in a typical year as 25,000. When adjusting for population differences between the US and Brazil, we find that the rate of microcephaly in the US is actually 40 times higher than the rate in Brazil. In other words, the US microcephaly incidence is much higher than Brazil, and the US babies didn't get it from Zika. Maybe the US babies got it from the various potential causes. It should also be said that the researchers who put their names on this article are all employees of the CDC, and we must question whether their analysis was truly objective and whether their findings were influenced by CDC ties to Big Pharma. Based on a single poor quality analysis, it's full speed ahead for developing a Zika vaccine. There are at least four companies, plus the CDC, working on a Zika vaccine. We are told that it will still take several years before the Zika vaccine can be properly tested and made available in large quantities for the population of the world. Zika vaccine trials have already begun, and they are already recruiting volunteers in the US. The US National Institutes of Health hopes to start phase 2 trials of its vaccine in early 2017. Now that the CDC has settled the Zika microcephaly question, it was time to get the Congress to fund the President's request for a Zika vaccine development program. The House and the Senate passed Zika funding bills. However, they have different ideas on how much money should be spent and how the funds should be generated. The funding process stalled at the end of June when the Senate and House could not reconcile their differences. Congress went on a 7-week summer vacation and wasn't available to try to resolve their differences. This created a problem for the Zika mind control campaign because it might mean there would be no new Zika news to report during the summer. The mainstream media switched their focus from vaccine development to eradication of the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which is known to carry the Zika virus. If an infected mosquito bites a person, then the person might develop the infection. This is a fact that no one is disputing. The CDC continues to count the number of Zika cases in the US and Puerto Rico. The numbers continue to rise through the spring and early summer, and they were looking for autochthonosis cases of Zika in the US, but they could only find infected people who travelled to Zika-infected countries or who had sex with people who travelled to those countries. Finally, at the very end of July, four people in the Wynwood section of Miami, Florida, were found to have Zika even though they had not travelled to a Zika-infected country or had sex with a Zika-infected person. Public health officials at the state and federal level interpreted the presence of these cases to mean that Zika must have been transmitted to these people by mosquito bites. They ignored the possibility that the infected people might have been lying about their exposure, for example, having sexual contact with an infected person. Nevertheless, officials concluded that they must implement a strong mosquito control program to prevent Zika from spreading any further. Now that the Zika epidemic was on US home soil, the media had another fear-inducing story to add to their propaganda campaign. There are mosquitoes that are out there to get you and our babies. On August 1st, the governor of Florida contacted the US public health system and asked them to send a specially trained squad of federal public health agents to help with the Zika emergency in Miami. These agents and Florida officials went door to door in the Wynwood neighborhood of Miami and collected urine samples to identify additional cases of Zika. 10 more cases were found, but all were asymptomatic. The people didn't even know they were infected. 5,000 mosquitoes were tested for the presence of Zika, but all tests were negative. Officials dismissed the negative infection results by saying that finding a Zika-infected mosquito is like finding a needle in a haystack. The governor of Florida, in conjunction with the federal public health agents, decided that they needed to do aerial spraying of pesticide. Even though the Aedes aegypti mosquito wouldn't travel more than 300 feet from its birthplace in the Wynwood neighborhood where the Autochronothis Zika cases were located, the officials decided to spray a 10-square-mile area just to be safe. A spraying program that covers 10 square miles would make a sensational story in the media. It would be much more alarming than a story about a neighborhood aerial spray zone, but also would expose many more people to a toxic pesticide. More about that later. The first aerial spraying took place on August 4th, 2016. Officials told the public not to worry about the pesticide that was being sprayed because it nailed is harmless. They pointed to EPA reports that supported their claim. They didn't mention that nailed was banned in Europe in 2005. They didn't mention that officials in Puerto Rico recently refused to allow the spraying of nailed over its citizens. They didn't mention that nailed kills many other types of insects and aquatic creatures in addition to mosquitoes. Most importantly, officials didn't mention that nailed and the chemicals that are created when it breaks down in the environment have the potential for causing human birth defects. Officials didn't mention that the pesticide they were spraying over the densely populated minority neighborhood of Wynwood was particularly dangerous for babies in the womb. This is what the Journal of Pesticide Reform has to say about nailed. Like all organophosphates, nailed, or dibrom, is toxic to the nervous system. Symptoms of exposure include headaches, nausea, and diarrhea. Nailed is more toxic when exposure occurs by breathing contaminated air than through other kinds of exposure. In laboratory tests, nailed exposure caused increased aggressiveness and a deterioration in memory and learning. Nailed's breakdown product, Dichlorvorus, another organophosphate insecticide, interferes with prenatal brain development in laboratory animals. Exposure for just 3 days during pregnancy when the brain is growing quickly reduced brain size 15%. Dichlorvorus also causes cancer, according to the International Agency for Research on Carcinogens. In laboratory tests, it caused leukemia and pancreatic cancer. Two independent studies have shown that children exposed to household no-pest strips containing dichlorvorus have a higher incidence of brain cancer than unexposed children. Nailed exposure causes increased aggressiveness and a deterioration of memory and learning. These are some of the symptoms that are also found in children on the autism spectrum. One of the most toxic breakdown products in nailed is Dichlorvorus. This chemical caused a 15% reduction in brain size in pregnant lab animals after 3 days of exposure. Another word for reduced brain size is microcephaly. So the pesticide that they're spraying could increase the rate of autism amongst children in the spray zone and could cause microcephaly to occur in the babies of pregnant women. Question: if there are babies born in Miami with microcephaly in the next 9 months, or if the autism rate in the spray zone increases, will we blame Zika or nailed? I'm sure that no one from the CDC or from the Public Health Agency will ever point a finger at Nailed. They will use the children to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Zika is to blame. Nailed is also harmful to adults. Dr. Naresh Kumar, a professor of public health at University of Miami, commented about the risks of using pesticides in aerial spraying. His statement came from CBS Miami. Quote, "All are a neurotoxin, meaning it will directly affect our nervous system. It will affect not only the pregnant women. It is also equally for children who have asthma and airway disease, because when you are spraying in the air, these aerosols stay in the air for at least 5 days. The Miami Herald stated this advice to people in the pesticide spray zone. They stated, "The agency, the EPA, says the insecticide poses no risk for the majority of people, but those sensitive to chemicals may want to stay inside during spraying, close windows and turn off window air conditioners. Fruits and vegetables should also be washed before eating, and outdoor furniture and grills covered." So, if you're concerned about being exposed to the chemicals they're spraying, then you should stay inside for 5 days until the pesticide falls out of the air. You should keep your windows closed and turn off window air conditioners. I wonder how many people were able to follow this advice in the subtropical urban climate of Miami in August. Mind control programs always try to make life difficult for those who live outside the box of normality. They want us to follow their instructions, which in this case would be to just not worry about the spraying. If you are concerned, then you can take their ridiculous suggestions, which won't really protect you from the spray. Apparently, the CDC suspects that Zika causes the paralytic syndrome called Guillain-Barré. If you look at the data collection forms for monitoring Zika in the US, you'll see another masterful stroke of mind control in the making. They're counting cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome on the same form with cases of Zika. Why would the CDC try to make this connection? The CDC indicates on their Guillain-Barré syndrome page that they are not sure what causes this syndrome. They do not mention that there were some cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome associated with the swine flu vaccine in 1976, but otherwise the condition is rare with unknown etiology. If they can make a case for the Zika virus being the cause of Guillain-Barré syndrome, they will shift attention away from the fact that many vaccines and pesticides have a harmful effect on the human nervous system and are able to produce this type of paralysis. It's anticipated that we could be seeing a Guillain-Barré syndrome research paper just like the one produced by the CDC on microcephaly. Their new paper will just substitute the phrase Guillain-Barré syndrome for the word microcephaly. They will show through statistical smoke and mirrors that the Zika virus is causative for Guillain-Barré syndrome as well as microcephaly. If they can pull this off, then the Zika virus will be blamed for all cases of vaccine damage in which microcephaly or paralysis results. If they can pull this off, and it's suspected that they will, then pesticide manufacturers will also be able to blame the Zika virus for microcephaly, neurological malformation, and paralysis that results from the use of their products. The Zika virus will be the perfect scapegoat. Propaganda campaigns always seek to worsen the devastating effects of whatever they want us to fear. First, we heard that Zika causes microcephaly. Then we heard that it might also cause Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now we're hearing that Zika causes a whole host of other birth defects, some of which might not appear until months or even years after birth. From the New York Times, the images of babies with microcephaly published on Tuesday in the journal Radiology also suggest a grim possibility, because some of the damage was seen in brain areas that continue to develop after birth. It may be that babies born with obvious impairment will experience problems as they grow. Images of another baby girl show contracted hands and arms, the results of another common symptom. Zika seems to damage the nerves in a developing fetus so that sometimes muscles aren't developing normally because they don't have the nerve impulses to move normally, Dr. Levine said. With such a vicious and unpredictable virus, it's key to realise that Zika is more than microcephaly, that there's a number of other abnormalities that they've shown in this paper, and its effects are going to be even more broad, said Dr. Spong, whose agency has begun a study of what will ultimately be 10,000 babies born in Zika epidemic areas, including Brazil and Puerto Rico. It's going to be essential to follow them, to look at their development, to look at their ability to learn, to look at hearing problems, balance problems, behaviour problems, all those issues to make sure that we don't miss anyone. Can you tell where this is going? It seems to me that they're planning to put together a catalogue of major injuries that result from Zika infection. It will include most, if not all, injuries that result from vaccines, pesticides, GMO food, pharmaceutical drugs, the high-carbohydrate, low-fat standard American diet, and anything else that might lead to a successful lawsuit against Big Pharma or Big Chemical. Zika might just become the standard defense for suit against corporations. It wasn't our product that harmed this little baby. It was Zika. It won't be long before the mainstream media will be showing us pictures of US babies from Florida who were born with microcephaly. The mainstream media will tug at our heartstrings and will remind us that this horror will soon become preventable when the Zika vaccine is developed. We'll hear about more and more connections between Zika and other terrible health conditions experienced by children. We will be told that all this suffering and all this expense will be avoided when all the mosquitoes are killed and everyone receives the Zika vaccine. Mind control programs always talk about the greater good and how individuals must give up their individual freedoms, their rights, and even their preferences for the sake of the collective benefit. Zika will be one of the tools used by mind controllers and the ruling elite to move us towards mass vaccination and total government control over our lives. That's what you want. Carry on listening to the mainstream media. But I would suggest you continue reading and find out more about Zika and what it doesn't do.